We can start whenever we're ready, but just so we are good and I don't forget to press a button.
Okay.
I'm going to record on like three different. Okay, we're Zoom recording on the computer and recording on whatever this soundboard is that Luke has. So we should be good.
Okay. All right, awesome. I guess I'll just go back, countdown, we're good to go.
Okay.
All right, so 3, 2, 1.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Overnight. We'll get to that in a little bit. I'm Hallie Griggs, joined by Alyssa Murray Cometti and Rachel DeCecco. Rachel, first off, big week. Kids are back in school. How's it feeling?
Amazing. I feel like a giant gorilla has been lifted off my chest. When they got on the bus yesterday, my neighbor pulled a bottle of champagne out of her bag and we, you know, popped some champagne, had a glass at 9 a.m. to celebrate 368 long days of homeschooling / working. So it's I'm so happy for them. They've honestly, they're so excited to be like back with their friends and kind of feeling some sense of normalcy. So super grateful for that this week.
That's awesome. Well, great way to kick off the morning. Cheers to that. And you know, I guess let's just dive right in. This past weekend, you know, I feel like all of us were glued to some doubleheaders. You know, let's kick it off in the Big Ten. Northwestern, Penn State. Penn State heard that train was coming. Shout out Johnny Cash. But the game train was unstoppable. Izzy, you know, had a quote, quiet, and I'm doing air quotes right now, weekend with a casual 11 points. While Lauren Gilbert exploded for a pair of dominant performances, 7 goals and an assist on Thursday, 6 goals on Saturday. Alyssa, you called Gilbert the fastest player in the country in your Thursday takeaway column. What makes her so dynamic, of course, other than her speed?
I think she's just super aggressive with the ball, super aggressive without the ball, and she just is all over the place. She's dynamic. She attacks ground balls. She's very similar to, you know, our other fast, speedy player that we always talk about, Allie Kennedy, in the sense that they are just everywhere. They're everywhere you look. They're with the balls on the ground and they somehow get there. And then, you know, I was talking actually with my dad about, you know, I don't think anyone was faster off the 8-meter arc than Allie Kennedy. And then I watched Lauren Gilbert play and I'm like, let's have a little competition here. It should be like an all-star weekend and that can be a little one of the events.
Yeah, she is. The separation that she can get off the line, off the draw circle, within a split second is pretty remarkable. And Rachel, I guess, you know, everyone's talking about UNC and Syracuse even of late, the offensive depth. How do you stop North Carolina? Northwestern's leading the nation with 19.8 goals per game. Izzy's game, Lauren Gilbert, Lindsay McCone, Sammy Mueller, Leah Holmes is really playing well as a freshman. How do you defensively even begin to try and stop this team? And is there a defensive unit out there you think, you know, can do it?
That's a great question. I think Kelly probably likes to be under the radar a little bit. You know, she's quietly working with her team through the season, creating different schemes, trying to get them to NCAAs and playoff time. You know, I know that the numbers don't necessarily show, but I was really impressed with Virginia's defense against BC. You know, they hung in there for a half. Charlotte North just played out of her mind. So I think there just became a point when that was unstoppable, but they were super aggressive, early doubles, really covering a lot of space, but being aggressive, you know, kind of pushing out to the 15. I think with Northwestern, you're going to have to be more aggressive. You can't just sit back and let them do their thing. They're going to have to be disrupted. And I think the aggressive style I saw from UVA would match well against that.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, as you mentioned, Kelly is, you know, crafting her little masterpiece in the Big Ten, and nobody outside of the Big Ten is going to be able to see it till May. You know, staying on this game for a second, Alyssa, you were publicly pretty critical in an IL Women column about the Big Ten broadcasts, but you were the first to admit on Twitter this weekend, and Rachel, we spoke kind of offline about it, about the improvements they made in just a week. What were your frustrations, Alyssa, and how did they nip it in the bud this past weekend?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like I said in the column, we all make mistakes, and owning them is a big part. But I think, you know, it just the start of the season, and it's tough because you have these networks that you can compare from one to the other, and you see all that the ACC network is doing. You see what just the local university, like the networks that a individual college is doing to stream games. And all they're doing with the commentary and, you know, updating on the scoreboard and the time and all of that. And just the fact that a paid platform was not providing that for their streaming was just mind-boggling to me. And I know that everyone or a lot of people were pretty outspoken about that. And it took a couple weekends of complaining on Twitter, but Big Ten Network, they got it together. They did a great job this weekend of coverage. And I was almost nervous to say something after the first round of games because or first Northwestern Penn State game, because I'm like, well, what if this is just a one-off? I hope the other games are covered. And they took care of it, and they heard, they acknowledged their flaws. So we forgive them.
We forgive them. Rachel, I know you and Taylor actually, Taylor Cummings talked offline, and you had a conversation with the Big Ten. I think you're going to be calling some of their games this spring, right?
Yeah, I was scheduled to call some games last year, obviously, and then the pandemic, as we know, took out the season. So reconnected with them this week. I had reached out to them just about the absence of commentators and sort of asking how could we support a shift there. And they're great to work with. And we connected this week, got on the schedule for some games. So I'm really excited about that. I think there's obviously a ton of talent in the Big Ten, and we want to have the opportunity to showcase it. And I think I love the conversation on Twitter. I think Taylor does a great job of leading those tough conversations and speaking up. You know, it's tough because we want commentators, but we also want quality of broadcast. So when you see like people saying, oh, I'll go do it for free, which is a great, that aren't in the lacrosse space, that are just sort of like random, I think it's a great offering. But I think there's more to commentating than just like getting in a booth and trying to talk about the game. So I think when you listen to Sheehan particularly call a game, like she does it so skillfully and so beautifully, she makes it look a lot easier than it is. So I really appreciate like people like Taylor and Sheehan and Dana and you, Hallie, like that have that talent that can get into the booth and really showcase the sport and bring in new audience.
I think also to add to that, sorry to cut you off, but I think, you know, we are also passionate about the women's game, and we want others to feel that same passion. And with more exposure that we are inevitably getting, it's just the quality of people announcing can really help the viewer experience. So understanding what's a call, what may be the strategy behind what a team is doing, makes it so much more entertaining when you're watching from your TV. And it really helps, you know, I tell the kids in Austin all the time, go turn on these games and watch and try and emulate that, even if it's to a lesser degree of skill, but try and take something away from every game. And if they're being kind of talked through it and coached through it, it's just that much easier to implement.
100%. And I think, you know, one thing that certainly, Rachel, you're about to experience it. I was, you know, texting with Sheehan this weekend. I love listening to her call games. And, you know, she was saying a huge challenge for a lot of these remote broadcasts are, you know, the color commentator and the play-by-play commentator you're listening to are looking at what you're looking at, which is very unique. Ordinarily, you know, they're there in person. They have a full view of the field. And, you know, those off-ball fouls, I feel like right now, that's probably like you cross your fingers right now that there isn't that off-ball foul that causes this big referee discussion when you're calling these games remotely, because you don't know what happened. You don't have that angle. So even hats off to how well some of those commentators, you know, have been doing this year with, you know, really a limited ability. And then on the other side, there are a lot of commentators that are studying kind of the scout for these games, and then like the last minute postponements or the this or the that, like there's so much work going into it. So again, you know, she and Dana, Rachel soon to be on air, you know, a lot of work is going into it. And again, to enhance those broadcasts, I'm really grateful to have such knowledgeable color commentators on board. You know, moving along, another pair of broadcasts we were able to see this weekend streamed through the ACC network, Syracuse Notre Dame, another doubleheader. You know, the Loud House was home to a pair of former Big East foes going head to head in an ACC doubleheader. I said this on Twitter. I feel like whenever I hear Megan or Emma Tyrell score a goal, in my head, all I hear is like, goal, Megan, House Tyrell. You know, Sylvia Queener had a little Game of Thrones music playing over the highlights from this weekend. The sisters combined for 18 points through a pair of games. You know, we talked about the Meg show. It's getting mentions in broadcast now. I love it. Let's get House of Tyrell trending. You know, but it wasn't just the attackers and the offensive line that really made a statement. You know, Syracuse's midfield, I think, has really been stepping up. Alyssa, you thought Sierra Cockrell made it to Wharton argument. She's stepping up really in the absence of Emily Harris-Trapp. What made her so dominant, and what's really making her so dominant this season?
You know, I think she's just kind of figured out that a lot of these people can't guard her. And it's just causing her to, you know, force the issue a little bit more. And just she's playing with such confidence. And what's funny is 2 years ago, before their Northwestern game, it was alumni weekend, and we were at Gary's house, and he was talking about the freshman class. And I remember him specifically bringing her up. And, you know, I think she even had a good game that game in 2019. But you know, you're just like, oh, she's good for a freshman. Like, can't wait to see what she turns into. And then you have this gap of a year where you just, you know, you don't know how she developed. And now you're like, well, pretty darn good. It's like, oh, well, you got that one right, Gary. And she's just, you know, crushing it. I think just her ability to get up and down the field. She's got great size. She's a physical player that's fast. And that's just a great combination, and a combination for success. And, you know, just that play of her, you know, goosing the ground ball around an attacker and then just going down the field and finishing the shot, was just, you know, that's going to be one of her career highlights.
For sure. I mean, career high 7 points, 5 goals, 2 assists on Thursday. And then, you know, quiet day kind of from her stick offensively. She didn't have a goal on Sunday, but she had 4 assists. So she led the team in assists. You know, I really love the way she's playing. And, you know, we can talk at length about a lot of the attackers that were on the field, a lot of the midfielders that were stepping up. I thought Casey Choma played like a star for Notre Dame, really getting them goals and points when they needed it to keep them in striking distance. But a year that we're talking about so much offensive talent, are we sneakily seeing another dark horse goalie or goalies in the player of the year race? And Rachel, you kind of mentioned it. You know, you've tapped Asa as a bona fide star and real to Wharton candidate. Alyssa, you called Bridget Dean Asa and Taylor Moreno queens with a K of the cage.
You know, I almost picked Cage with a K.
You know, it really, Rachel, do you think that this is another year where we could see a goalie come out and maybe hoist that trophy with how well these three are playing right now?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think, you know, Meg Taylor was just incredible. I think it would be tough to see that go back to back to goalies, considering it took almost 20 years for that to happen the first time. You know, there's so much offensive firepower out there this year, but I do think like we need to make sure we're speaking about these goalies and continuing to recognize all that they're doing. Bridget Dehan stood on her head on Saturday. I just couldn't, you know, there was a string of shots where she was just getting one after the other, and she just was, I mean, just clearing and saving every single one, throwing her body in every which way to make those saves. So I was really impressed with her. But I think, yeah, I mean, these goalies really deserve a lot of credit, particularly as some of them probably didn't see any shots in the fall and they're coming in the spring, kind of hitting the ground running and then hitting these double headers early on in the season.
I think the way Dean bounced back too was just so impressive. You know that she didn't feel great about that first loss and didn't have her best game, got pulled. and just to come back and play with a chip on her shoulder like she did, and she had something to prove. And man, I was like, wow, she really just was so impressive.
She was. And I mean, talk about, we haven't mentioned her yet, but Caitlin Meshesky for Syracuse.
Oh my gosh.
On the draw control, 25 draws, 2 games. If she doesn't do so well in the circle, Syracuse doesn't win this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, either game really, but in particular on Sunday, Bridget Dean, you know, basically stayed 500 for most of the day. It's a 3-goal game. And I thought that she played great. And then you look at Maddie Howe, Jackie Wallach, Madison Ahern, Sam Lynch, you know, they slowly started to figure out that Syracuse zone defense. So again, for a team, you know, we talk about Northwestern not seeing any of these teams until May. It's crazy to think Notre Dame could see Syracuse 4 times this season, which, you know, you look kind of what those adjustments would be. Another, not so much doubleheader, kind of, because back-to-back weekends game moving right along. UMass-UConn, Rachel, this game caught your eye. Not a conference game, but regional foes. They went into OT both times.
Yeah, I just loved, I got to catch a little bit of it this weekend. I just loved, you could just sort of sense when it's, there's clearly like a nice rivalry there. I think the teams are pretty evenly matched. Obviously, 2 overtimes kind of proves that out, but just a lot of grit and I think a lot of fight by both teams. And I just love, you know, I love a good overtime win. So when anything kind of comes down to that, to the wire, I think it makes for good television.
Alyssa, you were in the Big, no, did you ever play in the Big East or were you just ACC?
I was in the Big East for 3 years. It was my
senior
year.
So you remember that UConn, Syracuse-UConn was always a really, in lacrosse, that was always a really close game.
Yeah, they would play us well.
It was, you know, that's certainly, again, I love the regional rivalries that we're seeing kind of building up through this. I love that they were able to get each other on the schedule twice, you know, and another kind of element that we saw this weekend, we're seeing all season long, you know, it was the reason that Stony Brook played North Carolina, JMU game was postponed for Carolina. You know, Loyola turned a weekend without a game into a matchup versus a hot Drexel team. You know, Alyssa, what did you see in that game? And Loyola kind of turned it around there.
Yeah, I know that Rosenzweig finally kind of hit her stride again, and that's huge, just the confidence-wise, and just the whole team as a unit just coming off and having a good win like that. I think they had a little bit of a slow start, but I just, you know, something that caught my attention that, you know, Jen Adams was saying after the Syracuse game was, you know, we looked like a team that hadn't played all fall, like that hadn't played in a year. And, you know, every team is different and every team has had their own restrictions. So it is going to take a lot of time for some groups just to connect. And, you know, the vibe and culture is different on each team. And so it just depends on when you find that chemistry, and you just got to kind of stay the course and stay believing in, like, in the process. And, you know, they looked strong.
And Rachel, you pointed this out. I still can't see it. I requested to follow her. Maddie Lesher, accept my follow request. What was
shout out
she put up on TikTok that you thought was so awesome?
So funny. So obviously Maddie Lesher and Kelsey Donnelly both coach at Drexel. Maddie was a former defender at Loyola. So her she made a TikTok with Kelsey this weekend where she came out in the locker room in a Drexel uniform. And you know the TikTok that it's like, nobody's going to know. And then the other person's like, they're going to know. So she was like ready to play in a game as if she would sneak on to the field to kind of face her former team. I just got a kick out of like watching the Loyola staff and like alumni respond to that. I thought it was just great banner and hilarious because she does look like she could just be a college athlete at this point. But clearly, like Maddie Lesher steps in the field, you know, it's her.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos to them for making that game happen. Like, Drexel is up and coming, a really tough opponent. And obviously, Loyola is just hitting their stride. And it was not a gimme game, right? That's a really tough game to play. So I think, you know, it takes courage to kind of like say, okay, we're going to go up against this team who's on the rise. And Loyola was struggling. And it turned out really well for them. They kind of caught their groove. And I think that could be a turning point for them this season.
I agree. And again, it's like one of those games where when Drexel didn't pull off the win, I was like, well, I hope that they don't get dropped from the polls, because I do think I agree with both of you. I think that game said a lot more about Loyola. And this is a team that was ranked in the top 5 in preseason. because of what they accomplished last year and the talent that they have returning.
Yeah.
It was a limited fall. I think they're putting the pieces together. So I was happy to see, you know, Loyola get some love in the polls, but Drexel remain, because I do think that they, you know, certainly are a team to watch come the rest of their CAA stretch. You know, the last game we're going to talk about, because I think it was the up of the week, kind of the game heard round. I really wonder, I mean, Jacksonville, that video angle of the team rushing the field when they beat Florida, that was beautiful. But this was a big win down in the Sunshine State. Alyssa, is Jacksonville legit? What's going on down in Florida? Talk about it.
You know, I think Jacksonville is definitely one of those teams that they're working hard at recruiting right now, and they're going to different places and trying to be unconventional to get the best pieces to their puzzle as possible. And it just seems to me like they've got a whole team of kids that are totally bought in. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things. And especially in a little rivalry like that, you know, within in-state rivalry, you know, you always want to kind of have the bragging rights. And, you know, they had gone 0-9 against Florida before this weekend, and it's definitely one that they've always had circled on their calendar. And you know, as I, you know, they were playing well in 2020 and before they had their season cut short, I think they almost beat Michigan. And so to come off of a season where you started to feel like you were getting in a groove, to then have an opportunity, is, it's huge. And just, you know, it was their time. I thought they looked awesome, and I agree, the beautiful videography that their social media person should get a lot of kudos, because that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we reposted that. That was actually our highest interactive post. And there was Breda Farrell commented, the camera angle, beautiful. And that was like, that really is a great angle. You know, Rachel, on Unleashed, Katie DeFeo called it out. First YouTube video she put up, she was calling Jacksonville for the win. Nobody was with her, but she called it out. What is it about Florida that you think, you know, are they still in the mix? They weren't too far off. A lot of people were talking about Jacksonville, but what did you take out of this game about Florida?
Yeah, I mean, Katie called it. I think Katie has, I believe it's a high school team in on Jacksonville. And to Alyssa's point, like, the culture there is pretty amazing. That's what's going to bring a team from sort of, you know, to that next level when you build a culture and sort of a legacy like that. So I think Katie had some inside scoop there that kind of gave her, you know, the edge to say Jacksonville's going to come out with this win. So I love that she called that so early. I do think Florida's in the mix. You know, this is such a weird season. I think like these teams are still figuring things out. They're going to need to get a signature win. I mean, I think, you know, then the rest of their schedule is pretty tough. So they're going to have to kind of step it up and change some of what they're doing, because this moment, you know, this upset could really make or break them. They could turn around and say, like, not again this season, and this could be sort of a jumping off point, you know, or it could be, you know, a motivation crusher and just kind of have them doubting themselves. So I think just as it is for Jacksonville, this game is going to be key in terms of what direction Florida goes in.
And, you know, moving right along, maybe some players that we've already mentioned already, but the Touraton watch list, big news, came out last week, the initial watch list, right? Which I think it's always, you know, it usually is heavily based on years prior. You know, right now we're looking at a pretty ridiculous list because of all of these fifth-year seniors that came back. You know, there's obviously deserving candidates on this list. We play this game every year, though, because it's so fun. Rachel, starting with you, who was left off this list? Or, you know, who do you think is going to make their way on it?
Yeah, I think it's such a weird year. Like, you know, like, obviously there's no one from the Ivies on it who would have been on it if they had a season. I think Emily Harris-Chuck not being on it is tough, because I think she would have been a top five contender. I'm going to hold, like, another few weeks, because I think they got it pretty right. I know Alyssa has somebody that I'll let her share, but I don't disagree with Alyssa's ad. But I think there's still some people out there that need to kind of step up a little bit to get added to the list, because I think it's a pretty strong list they have right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think they definitely got it right, but I would say, you know, based off of the weekend that Sierra Cockrell had, she should definitely be one of the ones that are considered to be added. You know, she is really just, you know, we talk about Syracuse being attacker U, but she is just such an integral piece to the Syracuse puzzle right now. And it's just, you know, another threat, especially coming from a different angle for them that plays two ways, is just huge. So, you know, to me, when I think about the Twarton Award, I think she does represent a lot of what it is.
Absolutely. Obviously, traditionally, other than our obviously resident Twarton winner, Miss Only Defender herself, as John Bird loves to say. But, you know, I think I was a little surprised that Madison Ahern was left off the list. She was National Rookie of the Year last year. I really think that she, you know, she's Notre Dame's quarterback. She's their calming presence behind. I thought the way she handled the pressure of the Syracuse zone, especially on Thursday night, I mean, she's the one that got them going late in the game. And I was a little surprised at her omission just because she's not an unknown commodity. Like, no offense, Sierra Cockrell, like, she has stepped up huge this year. And especially of late, but I was a little surprised Madison Ahern. But again, I think, you know, you had that awesome tweet with like the Leonardo DiCaprio Wolf of Wall Street GIF, or GIF. I never know how to say it.
Me either.
But you know, I, you know, she was making a statement. I thought Madison Ahern, even Maddie Howe, kind of played like they were making a statement for Notre Dame too. And again, it's not taking anything away from, you know, the Notre Dame players that are on that list. I was just a little surprised at her omission, and I think she played like she was left off that list. And
she played like she was surprised.
Yeah, she played like, hey, don't forget me.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that, you know, really, again, I thought, you know, Notre Dame's attack, the way that they played pretty flawlessly on Sunday when they got the ball. I mean, they couldn't get the ball off the draw. And Deanne made the saves. Notre Dame's attack did, you know, they executed really well, and I think it went through her stick quite a bit. You know, moving along, I think I touched on it a little bit with some of the commentary already. Lax Twitter, I feel like this is a place where I'm loving the games, but I'm loving keeping my laptop open and watching the in-game commentary of, you know, a lot of what we've been seeing. Rachel, who are some people that you just love following, even this season, outside of the in-game commentary on Twitter? Who are those accounts everyone just follows?
Yeah, I mean, Official Lax Girl, obviously. I like her use of GIFs or GIFs, I don't know how to say it either, is really brilliant. Like, she always just nails it perfectly, which is a talent I think should be recognized. Alyssa, I mean, I got to shout you out here. Anytime you can make, like, a baby vomit joke into a lacrosse joke, I'm, like, really well done. I think you're, like, really quick. And when a lot of times when you tweet something, I'm like, oh, that's exactly kind of what I was thinking. So definitely follow Alyssa for sure. And then I think, like, saw Joe Keegan tweeting about the women's games. He works on the PLL doing like digital content for us and does a lot of stats work. And, you know, you love to see the crossover of some of the men in the space kind of supporting and watching the women's game and kind of commenting on it, because I think that creates some great conversation. And then obviously, I think Sylvia Queener's had some really funny things she said. Those are probably my top three or four for now. But there's definitely a lot more conversation happening like live during the game than I've ever seen. And I think it's great for the sport and will bring in a new audience for sure.
I am Alyssa. I have two too. I mean, now at one, I love that we're recording this via Zoom and I can see you blushing right now face to face. I love following you on Instagram, and it is, it's so relatable when you were like, Gary, unfortunate timeout. I have baby vomit all over me. I felt like that felt so real. Cause that was me this time last year, pre shutdown. So, you know, I do, I love your in-game commentary. So please keep it up, and everyone listening, gotta hit Alyssa with a follow. Obviously Tari, she's like the original, you know, Official Lax Girl. She's the original like Lax Twitter.
The original Lax Girl.
I think.
And she should change her handle.
GIFs. I'm gonna ask Tari how you pronounce it, because she 100% knows. You know, she is just so spot on. And again, she's just, I mean, on top of, I talked to her, we were texting today, you know, again, I just think she's such a leader, her voice in this space, how she uses her platform is so just remarkable. And like her ability to mix in meaningful, opinions and like her Rob Pinnell tweets about like, you know, how she had a crush on him when she was 12 years old. I'm like, you're the only person that could do this. And she's now starting a dating podcast. Obviously she has her Isle of Women podcast. She has Sound On with ESPN. I told her, I was like, do you have one of those like Hermione Granger little like hourglass necklaces that you switch in the day so you can time travel? Like, I don't know how you do what you do. But I love following her. She's the best. And, you know, I do, Rachel, I'm shocked you didn't mention him, and hopefully he'll forgive me for, you know, the only defender to Wharton beef earlier this season. John Bird is like one of my favorite people to follow on social media, and his Instagram story updates, I mean, Twitter, like he's just, I know I'm expanding it a little bit, but he is one of my favorite people to follow on social media. And he is the ultimate women's lacrosse fan too, and supporter of women's sports.
I mean, the ultimate women's sports fan in general. I think basketball is his first love, but lacrosse for sure. Yeah, I mean, I just, it was his birthday this week, and I mentioned it to him. Like, he makes me laugh out loud at least once a day, which is a really great quality to have in a friend, for sure. But I think I love to see what's happening on Lack's Twitter most of the time. Obviously, some things are not so great we see, but we all have a voice to kind of speak up when we need to on some of those not so great things and some of the really difficult issues that some leaders in the sport are really trying to tackle, Tari being first and foremost. You know, she's able to weave in really important messaging with, like, while also saying she wants to see Rob Pinnell without a shirt on. Like, who can kind of be that balance other than Tari? But yeah, Lack's Twitter is really heating up. I love it.
Yeah, Alyssa, who do we need to hit the follow button if we haven't mentioned them already?
Well, I think you've mentioned a lot of really good ones, and I'm sure that mostly everyone already is, but I think Taylor Cummings, on a more serious note, she always is, you know, spot on with, you know, the analytical side of everything, but also everything she speaks for and advocates for is just, you know, really spot on. And she does it in a really well-mannered way, which is, you know, she's never calling someone out in a bad way. She's wanting to make the sport better. And it's just it's nice to see, and kind of, you know, it's contagious. So her putting it out there in the world and, you know, having her speak on behalf of women's lacrosse is always a good thing. And then I got to say, Sylvia Queener is just always spot on and one of the funniest people. I have multiple times have read her tweets out loud to my parents or my husband. And her hate for sleeveless men's jerseys is one of the funniest things. I just like cannot handle it. So shout out to Sylvia.
I can't believe I didn't mention her, and I should have gotten a little plug in here. Katie DeFeo, we talked about earlier with her calls. She's obviously still in college, so she's connected to all of the athletes, and she has like a very interesting firsthand connection with them. So I love to kind of follow her for that content around her friends and what they're up to. I think it provides, because we're all, you know, most of us, all of us, but a lot of Laxers like post-college, and we can kind of like live vicariously through her experience and like what she's sharing about her friends. So definitely Katie as well.
What you're saying in a nice way is that we're all older.
Yeah. Glory day. It's a glory day situation, I think, but yeah, absolutely.
Just putting a bow on that.
Yeah.
Another player who, you know, again, I mean, she's, I don't follow her on social media, but I see a lot of her on social media because she's so damn fun to watch. Alyssa, you had a fun little tidbit. It's not Charlotte North, it's Charshar North now, according to you.
Yes.
In your column from this weekend. And I love that you brought up this side of the I think what most people think about when they think of Charlotte North is SportsCenter and kind of how cool she makes things look. But you spoke about her leadership. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've spoke about this in my column, but I had the opportunity to work with Charlotte. She came down with Jay Brown, who's at Stanford, Meg Carney, Morgan Widener. And I think that may have covered it, along with a couple college coaches, to run a camp down in Austin a couple summers ago. And, you know, I had met them back when they were playing at ESD, which is a school in Dallas. and we played them and they kicked our butt so badly. And then after the game asked for a picture with me. And so, you know, I had been introduced to them and thought they were awesome. And then to see them having collegiate success, to then be the stars that are coming down, and I'm the one that's posting about them on Instagram, and that you have to come learn from them, and the tables being turned, was kind of awesome. And just seeing Charlotte go through the transition of wanting to transfer, and she was kind of just starting to go through that process when she was in Austin, and getting calls from, you know, every school possible, where it's like your head could not be bigger about all these people telling you how great you are and all of that. And she was just, you know, so lovable, so humble. And, you know, to then she made her decision to go to BC and really not be there for a full year, to then be voted captain. I had texted her when it was announced, and I was like, you know, that's just so striking to me, and literally the only person I know, and I might be mistaken, I'm sure there's others, but is Reggie Thorpe. And I think anyone, men's team or women's team that he's been a part of, would easily say that he's just a great person. And you know, to be recognized like that, it, you know, she is just a great leader. And you know, it takes a special personality to have someone, to have your teammates respect you that much in such a short amount of time.
And of course, you're talking about when Reggie transferred into Syracuse, he was voted team captain. Mm-hmm. And for Charlotte and Reggie to make that much of an impact on their teammates. Yeah, I mean, you can just tell. I love watching Charlotte North's celebrations too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she loves lacrosse, and you love to see it. And she celebrates her own goals, but she celebrates her teammates' goals. Like, yep. You see her teammates scoring, and you see like this like jumping bean over in the corner of the highlight. And it's her, and she is just hyping her teammates up. I absolutely love it. Turning it to our defensive mind here, mastermind. How do you stop Charlotte, Rachel? I mean, if you teaming up for, you know, Princeton, if you're going to pull a Maddie Lesher, hop on the field. Bad example, because they're not playing this year. But if you were going to try to pull a fast one, hop on the field and play Charlotte, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a question that every team that plays BC has to answer, and it's not an easy answer. I think because she, like, if you shut down her drive, she's just going to have a sick assist, and like, and they're going to score anyway. So if I was trying to defend her, I think there's like two options. One is to face guard her, and you have to have a special kind of defender that can sort of like manage that. And the other option is like double teams, but like from her backside, because if she sees it coming, like there's no point in doing it. She, you know, UVA did a decent job like in the beginning of the game, trying to kind of keep her away from the offense, but like she just has too many tools. She's too fast. She's too strong. Her vision is too good. So those doubles like became pretty ineffective quickly, because she would just sort of either run through them or sort of thread the needle. So I think those are kind of your two options, and I don't think either one's like great, because she's that good. But the other piece of it, honestly, is like the rest of the attack. If you only have one attacker that can do everything, it's a little bit easier to shut down. But BC's ball movement, I mean, they had UVA's head on a swivel this weekend. Like, they are moving so quickly that, you know, you all eyes on Charlotte North, and somebody else is going to step up. So I think as they continue to gel as a team, they're going to be more and more of a threat for a national championship this year.
And I think that's a credit also to the coaches, you know, Kayla Traynor being on staff, where, you know, we all know that many teams were in the same boat as they were with Kayla, now with Charlotte. So she has plenty of tools as well to share with Charlotte as well. So, you know, it's a huge advantage to Charlotte and to BC, just having the experience of one of your coaches having had defenses throw everything but the kitchen sink at Kayla Traynor, and that's what they're going to be trying to do to Charlotte too. Sorry, Char.
Yeah, I mean, like, they said it on the broadcast, but like, her coaches are Acacia Walker, Sam Apuzzo, Kayla Traynor. Okay, like three. I mean, no big deal. Like, the people that she's learning from every day, like, not only like could play, were some of the best that ever played, but now they're like coaching masterminds. So, I mean, she's in a great place to just continue to improve her game and like learn from the absolute best.
And like, they're the first to say she blows them away. Like, it's just, it's yeah, no, when you put it that way, I, you do see elements of all of their games in her. Mm-hmm. So cool. You know, I guess she might, I guess we'll hold that thought on her because she might be mentioned in a little bit. I'm not quite sure where you guys are going with this, but I gave you the heads up. We were going to end with a little overtime. Just kind of, we saw a lot of overtime games. We mentioned the back-to-back OT games for UMass UConn. It took overtime for Maryland to top Hopkins this weekend. We've all been in those games. Alyssa, handing it over to you. Who's the teammate? It can be from any team you've played on. Club, high school, college, but it has to be a former teammate of yours. If you're drawing up the play for this player to get the ball, to take the last shot in overtime, tell us who it is.
Well, I just said her name, and it's Kayla Traynor, and it's for a bunch of different reasons. First of all, she dominated on the draw as a junior and senior in college, so she can win the draw for us. And then on top of it, she can get to the cage, but she's also developed a feeding game and I think has displayed that at the pro level, that she's great with the ball, off the ball, and, you know, can distribute to the open player. So she knows that she's going to get a slide and find the open girl. So I think she's just so well-rounded. And, you know, you got, like we've always said, you know, win the draw. What is it? Win the draw, rule the world, right?
Yeah, that's what Chapman told me. I love that.
So that's the biggest thing. And so I'm going with K-Train.
All right, K-Train. Rachel, who do you have?
I'm going with T-Sherry, Teresa Sherry. And I think it's because she did win us a national championship in overtime. So I kind of like have, she quite literally did what you're asking, who we want to do it. So it's hard to pick anybody but her, but kind of similar to Kayla. She can take the draw. She can run both ends of the field. She has determination like nobody I've ever seen. And to score the goal that she did in overtime, she went through the entire Virginia defense, like literally every person around the eight. And she's a lefty. So I think like that combo just made her super, super hard to defend. And if I had to do it again, and I was lucky enough to still be playing lacrosse, she'd be the teammate I give the ball to.
All right. I love it. You know, staying with, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it here. I'm going with Katie Rowan. You know, we played together in high school. We played together in college. I've seen her score a number of game winning goals, so I'm confident she can get it done. You know, she's 4 points shy of 400 career points at Syracuse. She's the leading scorer in U.S. World Cup history. And you both know Katie. She's just the most calming presence that you'll ever be around. Like, in overtime, she doesn't let the nerves get to her. She is just like she's just that like steady Eddie in life. She doesn't get too high. She doesn't get too low. And I think you need a person who is like that with the ball in their second OT. You know, closing it out, I think I'll kick it off too, because I don't want you guys to take my choice. what current college player would you give the ball to in OT? And I'm going with Jamie Ortega, simply because, you know, her career shot percentage is almost 60% this year. It's above 60. She's not fancy. She's just incredibly accurate. She's a sniper. In overtime, I'm giving the ball to Jamie Ortega. They haven't needed overtime this year, so I'm curious kind of who they would give the ball to in overtime. But she's just getting the ball from me if I'm drawing up the play. Rachel, what college player are you giving the ball to in overtime?
I'm going to give it to the Skane train. Izzy Skane. I think, you know, when I play this out, Kelly Imani draws up like an amazing play for them to run and highlight Izzy, and Izzy goes to goal and crushes it. I think I would have a lot of confidence in Izzy's ability to take the OT win for Northwestern.
All right, that's a good one too. Train coming through. Alyssa closes out.
The hardest is the last, but I'm going to go with Allie Kennedy, because if she misses the shot, she's going to go get it back and then score. So I think that she's just a do-it-all player for Stony Brook. And, you know, I think just how hard she goes, good things happen. So with a attitude like that she has on the field, then she's bound to give my team a win.
She's. I love that you really like. You've gone into like the full game.
Yeah, she's like, gonna ride so hard that she'll get it back. It'll be fine.
Kayla's gonna get the draw, and Allie yeah. Kennedy is gonna get the ball.
Yeah, we'll be, and I'll be cherry picking on the crease.
Well, before we close out, you know, for our followers, obviously, this is our second podcast. It's the Playing Catch Up podcast, powered by Unleashed Overnight. Rachel, what is Unleashed Overnight?
Unleashed Overnight is part of PLL Academy's youth development and training organization. So we grew, we built a women's arm to our training division this year, last year, I guess, in 2020. And our sort of flagstone product is Unleashed Overnight, which is a 4-day, 3-night experiential camp focused on developing girls on and off the field. So we held our first one in November. Alex Off, Katie DeFeo, Colleen McGarity, the best coaching, an incredible immersive experience for young girls. Our next one is at IMG Academy this July, and then we'll be holding another one on the West Coast in December. So check out premierlacrosseleague.com/academy to learn all about it.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks for everyone for tuning into another episode of Playing Catch Up, powered by Unleashed Overnight, which we just heard about. And let us know if you guys want us to talk about anything in particular. We had a comment about our audio. We tried our best to fix it this time around. We are so excited to be coming back in a couple of weeks. And Alyssa and Rachel, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. See you next time. Yeah.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.